I start at the bottom of this slide and would like to first thank the organizers for having me here. I find this development which we have witnessed here over the last few years very, very impressive. It's, I think, important pages of our solid-state textbooks are now written and worked out. And so I'm very happy to be here. So the work I would like to discuss is with Geneviève Fleury. She was a postdoc for 11 months in Geneva and now has a permanent position in Saclay, in the south of Paris. And my other collaborator is with me is John Lee. So this shows you Geneva with the fountain, which is about I think 360 feet high. It's the symbol of Geneva. We are still in the part of Europe that is well funded, so we get money from the state directly. University is a state university. There are two Swiss-wide networks, one on materials and
Marcus, you need the mic.
I'm sorry.
So my voice is not going
to be recorded. It's so it can be recorded.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm on, well, then I have to think what I'm going to say.
I should have told him.
He warned me before. yes, okay, thank you. So there are two Swiss-wide networks, one on materials and one on quantum science and information technology. And we receive also funding from the Swiss National Science Foundation, and I'm part of a European training network and a more specialized network on nanopower, which where I do some mesoscopic thermoelectrics. So I'll show you quickly a picture of my group. Actually, this is with Alberto Morburgo, who often joins us for lunch. And with him, John Lee is here, and Pierre Delplas. We work on topological insulators, bilayer graphene, and with John Lee and with Geneviève, they are the Majorana people. This is Christian Flint, Matthias Albert, and PhD student Geraldine Huck. We work on the statistics of electron transport. We turn the question of the full counting statistics on its head. Full counting statistics ask how many particles are transferred in a given time. What's this probability distribution? And we ask, what is the probability that no particle is transferred in a given time? That's a waiting time distribution, and it's the statistical equivalent of the Wigner distribution in the level statistics. So it's a highly interesting question. I think so thermoelectrics is with Rafael Sanchez. So I've probably mentioned all of them. So coming back to the Majorana, what interested me are edge states in the Majorana story. So such edge states, I know that this is most of the focus is on what I would call bound Majorana states for a variety of reasons, but to discuss transport, it's quite interesting to look at such edge states, and they are suggested to occur or predicted to occur in such p-wave superconductors, or also in a chiral triplet p-wave superconductor. So, but other, and this has maybe stimulated the field a lot, are various suggestions of using topological insulators and magnets in proximity of a superconductor, which creates a chiral channel. Moreover, the chirality of the channel depends on the direction of the magnetization. So I think this is an idea of Charlie Kay. So what generated my interest were papers which came with these pictures, which are shown here. So these are so-called interferometers or SET2 interferometers, because they came, they are suggested or proposed to measure the parity of the number of Majoranas. So the idea here is that you have such a chiral normal channel coming in, and here it along this is a superconductor, and here along this between the superconductor and the magnet you have now such a Majorana, a chiral Majorana mode, and you can do it if the direction is correct. You can go like this, and you unite them here, and here you have the also contact. So here you enclose the superconductor and potentially a number of vortices which at their core carry a Majorana bound state, and the idea is to determine whether you have here an even or odd number of such Majoranas with such an interferometer. I think this type of approach was suggested from also in the fractional quantum Hall effect to detect anions. So another variation is shown here, where there is a superconductor here, a magnet out here, and there is only one magnet. So this forms here the chiral Majorana state. Here forms a closed loop, and these are two normal leads. And so what we would like to look at is first we want to examine a bit closer this connection of such a normal chiral state to the two Majorana branches, or here of the normal lead to this chiral Majorana branch. So the motivation is basically very simple. Here with this chiral Majorana edge states, we have a novel type of particles. They are the neutral particles. And nevertheless, at the end of the day, you want to measure charge. So we want to look how a formulation of such a transport looks like if we formulate a scattering problem in a Majorana basis. Normally, the usual thing which is done, it's not always, but often, one uses electron hole basis. But instead, here we try to look at it from a point of view of just Majorana states. I will show so also even in the normal lead, we can immediately transform. It's just a unitary transformation to go to a Majorana basis. So this then is a scattering theory in which charge and current are not diagonal. So that's really what is, from a, let's say, formal point of view here, it's a novel aspect. And therefore, in such a theory, charge and current are always a manifestation of interference. So let me start to look at this. The basic building block is therefore some normal lead connected to such a chiral Majorana mode. So in the normal lead, like whenever we see that there is a superconductor nearby, and so whenever we have a superconductor, what we do is we double the number of channels. We also introduce the whole modes. And in order not to do overcounting, we restrict our energy just to positive energies. And so the distribution for electrons is the Fermi distribution function, and the distribution function for holes is 1 minus the Fermi function of minus the energy. Okay, so what's now of interest is here the scattering matrix, which links this electron hole state to the Kyle Majorana mode, and this is a matrix of dimension 2n plus 1. So this is a formulation in electron hole modes. So if the symmetry which we have, the electron hole symmetry is written here, that's complex conjugation, and that exchanges electron and hole states. So in an electron and hole basis, the scattering matrix has the property that you have to exchange here indices and complex conjugate and take it at minus energy E. Or if I apply P to an electron state at momentum K in energy E, it gives me an electron state, a whole state at minus K of minus the energy. So, and this implies this symmetry for the scattering matrix. Of course, eventually we want to look at it only at energy E equals zero. So, the simplest case, if we look at the 2x2 scattering matrix, then you see that to fulfill unitarity, you can have only two cases. There is a scattering matrix which has only here the diagonal elements non-zero, and its determinant is 1, and it corresponds to purely normal reflection. The other option is that you have non-diagonal elements, and the determinant here is minus 1, and it corresponds to total Andreev reflection. So for a 2x2 scattering matrix, there are only these two options. It's a perfect normal reflection or perfect Andreev reflection. Okay, so now let's look at it in the Majorana basis. In the Majorana basis, when we have a Majorana mode, we have a superposition with some possibly phase of an electron and a hole state. And if we apply here the electron-hole symmetry to this state, it reproduces the Majorana, it reproduces this state at just minus the energy. So, or it means that apart from complex conjugation at energy E equals zero, nothing happens. So it means that the scattering matrix here is real if the energy is zero. And again, there are here, of course, this is just a change of basis, and there are here again only two cases. Namely, the total normal reflection corresponds to this to the matrix here, and the total Andreev reflection corresponds to that matrix. So,
what is 5B? I'm sorry.
Did I? So there, it's just a phase which I can have here. This here is arbitrary.
So originally you were talking about going from a normal
Yes.
Normal into a topological supercircuit.
Yes.
In which case, you have a 3x3.
Yes, so I will go this as the next step. Mm-hmm. So let's now see and look at this to address this task which we really want to do. Let's go. We started out with this problem in an electron hole basis. Here is the Majorana mode. And now what we want to do is we transform also in the normal lead into a Majorana basis. In the electron hole basis, the scattering matrix here has these entries here for each mode. We have an electron hole mode and so on. And this here is the Majorana mode. Now, if we apply this transformation, we combine here electron and hole here for each case into two Majorana modes, then you see that we have here all entries here are now Majorana modes, and the scattering matrix here at energy E equals zero will be a real matrix. So this means that on the electron hole states in the lead, we have a certain unitary transformation which generates these Majorana modes. Okay, and I've already mentioned that it will be orthogonal at E equals zero. So let's look at the most simple case. If for N equal one, my orthogonal matrix can be written in terms of Euler angles. So I have, in general, I have three rotation, which I call here alpha, theta, and beta.
So what's, I'm sorry, N is?
Sorry?
Oh, that's one channel.
This is just, I've now one channel in the normal lead. So now I have the 3x3 matrix.
I see. Mm-hmm. So you want to think of it as a rotation matrix.
Yes, so I can think of it as a rotation matrix with these three Euler angles. But two of these rotations, they affect actually the Majoranas in the leads. So I can view them as just a redefinition of the Majorana modes I introduced to begin with. And so two of these angles are actually irrelevant.
So it's just redefining the incoming outgoing ones.
Right. One acts on the incoming pair and one on the outgoing pair. So this is all written here, but maybe it's not necessary to go to all of this detail. But at the end of the day, I can just look at this scattering matrix here. And this has some rotation, and here it has a one. It means that if I'm in such a Majorana basis, one of the Majorana modes is actually completely reflected. And only one of them is really attached to my chiral Majorana mode in the interior. And so that's the simplification which you gain in this picture.
And presumably this, when you go to higher n, it's still true.
That's correct. So this is, of course, especially valuable if you then generalize to many channels. So let's now look what this means. So I will talk about the many channel case a little bit later. So I can ask, I can calculate the current, let's say, here in the in the normal lead, and I can ask to do this. I implicitly assume that this channel is fed also with some distribution, And I can ask what contributes, how is my current written in this Majorana basis. And so for the moment, I want, we have seen that these entries are all real, but for the moment to do these calculations, it's actually nice to think of them as complex amplitudes. And of course, if we then later introduce break time reversal symmetry, for instance, with a magnetic flux, then these quantities will really be complex. So what one finds is the following. So the current, of course, will have two contributions, namely from normal leads, normal from lead modes, which are reflected. This is INN. And it might have a contribution from the Majorana mode scattered into the lead mode.
So you're calculating the current in the lead.
I calculate the current here in the lead. So, and what one finds is of course, that the Majorana mode is neutral and it cannot contribute to the current. So all the current which I measure here in the lead is purely determined by modes which come out of the normal lead and are reflected in the normal lead. So it's only the reflection part of the scattering matrix which contributes to the current. Moreover, if one carries out the calculation and keeps these quantities complex, I get the current here from this reflected a pair of modes. So this one is the incoming current, and now you see that I get a contribution here which is such has these two reflection amplitude, and one is the complex conjugate.
So it's a little bit tricky because current isn't actually conserved in here.
That's correct.
If you calculate the current in the superconductor with this calculation, you get zero, right? So all the current is disappearing in the Cooper pair, right?
So that's correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So actually, well, we can see, you see this quantity here, in reality these two are real, but they can be negative or positive. So this is a quantity that goes from minus one, then this is, the current will be two. That means I really absorb a Cooper pair into superconductor, or it can be plus one. That means I have the current will be zero and I have normal reflection. But the key point which I try to make here is that the current appears in the form of an interference of two Majorana modes in such a picture. Of course, this is just language and it's not in any way a new result. But maybe such a perception in physics can be important. I don't, maybe. So now, okay. So I think I've already all stated this. One can, there's of course a simple way to see this. The current, if you have here a wave function which is in the outgoing channel, it's a superposition of two Majorana modes with these reflection probabilities. And in the electron and hole basis, you see that it is the sum and the difference. But the current will be proportional to psi, to the absolute value of psi squared, and it is therefore this absolute value minus here the absolute value of the difference, and this is just this interference part. I think this is all quite natural. Okay. So fine. So. Now one can go and build up such interferometers. For instance, we can here close this loop, and this means that the mode by going around here acquires a phase,
Now this is energy, and this is the periphase, and that's the number of vortices which are enclosed here. And so in general, I've mentioned this, the scattering matrix after we eliminate this mode is now just a 2x2 scattering matrix, and with the total reflection amplitude given here by this R1 vehicle. And so here is again this the current. If I'm really at energy E equals zero, then this phase phi is pi plus an integer given by the number of vortices in there. My R2 is always 1, that remains unaffected. And so you see that when n is even, then this R1 is also 1, and G is 0, the conductance, and if it's odd, then this R1 is minus 1 and G is equal to 2, and we have the perfect Andreev reflection. Okay, so this is all in the literature, of course. So it's easy to extend this to somewhat more complicated geometries. For instance, you can ask what happens if you can tunnel to a second loop. So let's say that the case, if just for a simple example, let's suppose these loops have the same diameter and they both contain a Majorana, contain a flux. Then while the conductance without coupling is here at G equal to E squared over H, then as soon as I introduce this tunnel coupling, it will drop to zero and it will split. And the splitting will depend on this tunnel coupling. So this is similar to seeing two Majoranas which are weakly coupled, and therefore the accuracy with which this parity meter works depends on how well you can resolve such a splitting. Okay, so now let me briefly also discuss the case with two leads. So now we go to the usual Fabry-Perot interferometer. We attach a second lead, and of course it remains true that in each of these leads one of the Majorana modes is detached. And again we can for instance calculate the current, and we can ask which parts of the scattering matrix do effectively contribute to the current. And we see that despite the fact that there is now transmission of Majoranas from one lead to the other, it is still true that the current is only determined by the reflection part of the scattering matrix. And naively one could somehow say, okay, this is because Majorana modes are charge neutral. But in this Majorana language, the point is that Majoranas which come from different leads cannot interfere, at least not on the average, because they come with a statistical phase which is random. So this Majorana mode, when it's transmitted, cannot interfere with that Majorana mode. And so again, this current which depends on transmission is actually zero. Okay, so so we can somehow say that the left-right contact contributes no current to the right-left lead. So this means that there's no coherence on the average of modes which come from different leads. However, we can look at noise. And so I look at correlations now of the noise here and there, that's delta L T. t and delta r, r of t prime, and we'll look at the Fourier transform of this at zero frequency. So that's a zero frequency noise. And here now it's interesting that while we have seen that on the average current, there is no contribution from transmission, here the correlation explicitly and exists only if there is transmission. And moreover, but it's also quite interesting, this is the product of the distribution functions applied to the left and to the right lead. So it's important that there is current fed in from both sides. So this is actually a very special type of noise, as we will see. And it's maybe useful to compare it to just a normal, usual Fabry-Perot interferometer like we had it in the quantum Hall effect. So integer quantum Hall effect. Then if we would look at the noise, we would actually get a much more complicated formula. The correlation would contain three contributions: equilibrium thermal noise, it would contain partition noise, and it would contain the same type of noise which I call an exchange noise. What does it mean? I have a cartoon to illustrate this. This is just a thermal noise. It comes from the statistical population of the incident channel, and this exists in the normal case but not here because it cannot contribute to the correlation. Another type of noise is,
and so the reason it can't contribute to the correlation is because you need to, it has to involve,
it has, this is still a single in a way a single particle effect, the thermal noise. Then the next type of noise is the so-called partition noise. This means in the normal case that if we have an electron incident on such a structure, it can be detected only here or here, but not on both sides. So this exists in the normal case, but it does not exist here. There's no contribution also from partition noise. And then there is a third contribution, which exists if we have simultaneously two particles incident. And this gives a contribution to the noise, which is interesting and has statistical information because you cannot distinguish from which lead the carrier comes. So this is an exchange interference, and that exists now also in the Mr. Majorana.
So in the ordinary normal case, there isn't any way of separating those different contributions, measuring.
Let me go to this result here. Not in this geometry. Because here, even if you go to zero temperature, then you eliminate obviously the thermal noise, but you will still have a competition of the partition noise and this exchange noise. But indeed, when I noticed this in the normal case, then very early on, I tried to find geometries in which I only have this. And it is indeed possible, for instance, in the integer quantum Hall effect, to give a geometry in which I can have no partition noise, but I have only this.
Is this doing some sort of Hanbury-Brown twist?
This is what we call the Hanbury-Brown twist. I will later also come on the same Mr. Majoranas. Okay, so now this is the n much larger than 1. If you have many channels, then the structure remains the same, we can decompose the scattering matrix into a series of such rotations, 2x2 scattering matrices, and here we have one. So it means that already what we have done, the scattering matrix decomposes into one channel which sees the Cairo-Majorana mode and something which is just composed of interferences of two channels. There's actually here a somewhat tricky point which I will not address further. If this decomposition has still twice too many parameters in the case of pure reflection, and this is a thing discovered by, a property discovered by Berry, this is not a misprint, but it's the Berry degeneracy and not the Berry phase. And it means that in the case of reflection, all the eigenvalues of the reflection matrix are doubly degenerate. It's a very subtle point. And it means here that not all rotation angles are independent. But it's special for if we have only reflection. So when we have more leads or so, then this Berry degeneracy does not apply.
So is this somehow the unitarity of the reflection matrix that composes that?
Okay, I have no good physical insight, but it's this fact, this Berry degeneracy leads to the fact that when you have reflection in this symmetry class, that let's say at the quantum point contact, even in the normal case, the steps would be 4 e squared over h. And if it's topological, then the first step is 2 e squared over h and then plus the 4. These things come out of this Berry phase. So, okay, we basically can also get this, but not in a way that I learn nothing. So I want to wait until I get a better understanding of this. So, but it's not important if we have multiple leads. And so for multiple leads, I mentioned also already, the nice thing is, of course, that it's really only one Majorana mode which couples to this, and all the rest is decoupled. So, and so on. So, and the current in a lead is such a sum of such interference terms, and so on. Okay, so okay. I think I want to maybe come and very briefly in the last few minutes also discuss the. Now what I call the Mach-Zehnder interferometer, where the two chiral edge states are organized in such a way that the Majoranas move in the same direction. This is somewhat different from what I have shown before, because if we go here into the Majorana basis, then from a Majorana point of view, we get just two channels which transmit. There's nothing happening in the Majorana basis. Except, of course, the current on the left is just determined by the filling of the incoming channels. And here on the right, what we can have is again interference, which is determined by the transmission probabilities. And these transmission probabilities can depend here on the phase. So, okay, I don't know if I, what is also a bit different here in this case, the noise now is purely thermal noise, and at least if we are at energy E equals zero. Okay, so that's maybe the point is that here, of course, now transmission up here, it's in this sense, it's different from the bound state, scattering of the bound state. I want to maybe come briefly to this last geometry, which we talked before. And it's what I would call a two-particle interferometer, or a Majorana two-particle interferometer. And it works in such a way, so here we have the same arrangement as before, but we have four leads, two which come in and two which go out. And now if you go to the Majorana basis, then you see that nothing happens from the Majorana scattering point of view. We have one mode which does this, one mode which does that, and so on. They just go one quarter along the circle and then out. This is exactly, you can do this also in the integer quantum Hall effect. That's what we proposed, and Heiblum measured it. So, but here in the picture you see immediately you cannot have zero current here at 3 and at 4, because again these Majoranas come from different contacts and cannot interfere. So that's according to the rules. However, despite the fact that the current here vanishes, the charge noise is present. And it's present exactly in the form of such an exchange interference term, which involves here all four transmission probabilities. And the result, of course, is very simple. This correlation depends only on the cosine of the phase. So if you are...
The phase is not continuously tunable, right? It's either zero or...
But okay, if I have really a set 2 interferometer, it will be just zero or pi. So you see that you get here either positive or negative correlation, and depending on whether you have electrons in the output or electrons in holes and absorber super pair into the superconductor. Okay, so this is more or less what I have to say. Let me just summarize this. We have looked at here at scattering problem, at the scattering problem in a Majorana basis, and we see that the decomposition of the S matrix can be particularly simple here with a minimal number of parameters, and you can also directly relate it to the current. And noise, also these expressions look a little bit different from what you are used to. So the current is determined always by a pair of interfering Majorana fermions. And then I've shown that we can also have exchange in the noise. And this exchange is sensitive to transmission, even in geometries where the current is only determined by the reflection matrix. Thank you very much.